Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa, Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
my
Hello and welcome to DVC Newscast. This is episode 132. I am Shannon and joining me today, we've got Pete.
Hey, Shannon.
And Sue.
Hi, guys.
Even though we're recording this on January 9th, this is our first episode of 2024. So Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah, everybody's had a lot going on. I know Sue's been away. Shannon, I know you weren't feeling well. And
yep.
I picked up my daughter from the college programs.
You got to celebrate. Now, were you in? Did you go up there after New Year's or did you celebrate New Year's there?
We were there for New Year's, but we debated about going to watch the fireworks, but we were tired and we just stayed in our room.
Smart move. Yeah, that's good. Your daughter's home. Did she enjoy her college program experience?
She did, yeah. She had a good time. I'll talk a little bit more about the trip at the end, I think.
Sure,
Usually we cover those things at the end, so I'll mention a few things. Yeah, it was a good experience. Definitely.
Good.
It's definitely something I would recommend for a number of reasons for any kids that might be going to a college that is part of that program. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a good opportunity.
Well, I will say I saw your daughter at the beginning of the program. I saw her at the end of the program and she was a different person in a positive way. I can give that feedback. So we have a lot of stories today because we did take, a few weeks off and there's just been a lot of news coming down the pipe in the last weeks. Before we get into the news, we do want to give a shout out to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Monera Financial. So if you are looking to finance a DVC resale contract, or maybe you want to refinance your current DVC contract, definitely hit up our friends at Monera Financial and they can help you out. So with that, this story, as I did mention, we are recording this on January 9th, right? It's January 9th.
Yeah.
And today was the registration for one of the Moonlight Magics. I'm not even sure because I am not going to any of them this year. There was a registration and some interesting things happened. Basically, there's a great article on dvcfan.com that kind of explains everything that happened, but their title of their article is DVC Quietly and Vaguely Changes the Moonlight Magic Registration Rules. To kind of summarize, up until this point, you could book a cash stay. And as long as it was linked to your account and you were the member, if you were staying on property on cash, even if it was like Pop Century, that would qualify you for the early registration for Moonlight Magic. They changed the wording and the wording changed on members with resort reservations. And it said when staying with using their membership with vacation points, reservation points or cash, members who booked a qualifying resort reservation by the cutoff date. But it doesn't really say, they changed the wording a little bit. And essentially what happened is they have since eliminated that cash resort stay at any Walt Disney World resort. So you pretty much now need to be staying on DVC vacation points. The cash portion, nobody really understands. So I know they have put in the member services was handling it, saying that they were going to put in a ticket to get the verbiage more clear because it's still at this point not clear, but there was a lot of people waiting in that queue. And if you've ever waited for a Moonlight Magic queue, you're waiting an hour, right? Maybe even an hour and a half and give up their morning only to find out that their stay didn't qualify.
Wow.
And I cannot even imagine what the poor member services was dealing with this morning because I was seeing in real time what was happening in some Facebook groups. People were not happy. There was a lot of confusion. People really didn't know. It was not clear. So it seems right now that you pretty much have to be staying using your points during one of those Moonlight Magics. So what do you guys think about this?
Well, I don't necessarily have an issue with the change, but I do completely agree that if you're not going to, you got to let people know about that ahead of time and explain it clearly. And not make people wait or people that had the points to book, but chose not to because in the past always could use cash. Is it like no cash, or because I thought I saw someone post like if you call member services and book through member services, then it qualifies or something like that.
That's the problem. Amy from DVC Fan did write a good article. So I encourage you, we'll post a link in the show notes, but it's still very confusing. I went and looked on before we started recording and it still has not been changed and updated. So it's still very confusing. It's like, it could be some cash, but the way they wrote it, I can understand what they're trying to prevent. And I will say there were a lot of maybe local members that would book a cash day, because if you booked a cash day and got your tickets and then you canceled your stay, your tickets were not canceled.
Correct.
And that's their issue. Like that's a loophole. That was a loophole that they didn't fix. And I think that this is their way to fix it. Personally, I think it's the wrong way to fix it.
Right.
Or they need to come out with the dates sooner, because I looked at some of the dates, that I could have gone, tried to look at and see if we could get a room, and I couldn't. Everything was booked.
Yeah.
And I mean, I looked as soon as I saw the dates drop. I was online looking at some of them. Unless I was getting, you know, a bungalow, it just wasn't happening. Yeah. And maybe a cash day was all that was available, or that was an option.
Right.
You know, and especially for someone like me that I'm not local, but I have enjoyed Moonlight Magic by staying on cash at a Walt Disney World resort. And the reason why I know it doesn't cancel is because we were going to go to one, I think it was Animal Kingdom last year. I made a cash stay and I got the tickets and then it just wasn't working out. I don't remember what happened, but we weren't able to make it. I canceled our resort. I noticed a week later that I was still getting the reminders about Moonlight Magic. So I called member services to tell them, didn't it cancel? Because I canceled my reservation. She said, no, it's not linked at all. So I did cancel my DVC, the Moonlight Magic. So I think this is their way to do that, because I'm sure that was happening a lot.
Yeah.
Because you see all the influencers going, you see all the YouTubers. I've seen people brag about, oh, all you need to do is book a cash reservation. Yeah. And these are obviously people that are more local and don't need to get a hotel room. Right. Because me, if I'm booking a stay, I have to stay somewhere. Right.
And I can see, again, I can understand why you would want to make the change in that.
I agree. Yeah.
There's such high demand now for these that even just limiting it to people staying on points is still going to fill up.
Right.
Right.
And it doesn't eliminate the second option, which is to book the individual without a reservation. So you could still, even if you don't have a point reservation, you could still try to get in. I don't see an issue with them doing it this way, but totally to just change it and not really
lack of communication
or let people know ahead of time. Yeah. And as you say, with these early ones, especially, no one can book a points reservation when it was only announced a month ago. You can't get a room.
Yeah.
So you can't even use your points, you know?
Right. And I agree. Like what you just said, I agree. Like if they wanted to change it, I don't necessarily think it's the best, but I understand why they would do that. And it is what it is. But like you said, I almost feel like maybe I've just become cynical, but I feel like they do this vague verbiage in these rules so that it is confusing and they didn't have to deal with it, you know, and just, I feel like sometimes, like, I know one person was like, it's always been like this. That was what member services told them. And the person was like, no, it hasn't. Cause I've used, you know, but it's not member services' fault, because member services, they're only told what they're told. Right. And it's very unfortunate. I feel really bad for the people that were the member services. I feel really bad. I'm sure they had a really crappy day having to deal with this. And again, this just kind of goes to management not doing and putting their people at a disservice.
I don't like the idea. I don't really think the idea that like it's intentionally vague. I more think it's basically the communication within corporations and the way they want to be super cautious how they say things because of legal reasons. And in doing so, things end up being vague. And then you get situations like this. So I want to give a little more of a benefit of the doubt, but 100%.
Yeah, you're nicer than me.
But and you're nicer than me too, Pete, because the the hard thing is this is one of the common complaints by members is that Disney doesn't communicate to the membership well. You find these things out by chance, you know.
Yeah, and I should rephrase that. It's an issue with, to me, it's an issue with the management level in DVC. It's not an issue with the day-to-day people.
Oh,
it's,
correct. Yeah, for sure.
Management making a change, not communicating it properly to the people that matter, which is their customers and their members.
Right.
No, totally. Yeah. So, I mean, we could probably have a whole show just about this, but if you were one of those that waited in the queue only to find out you didn't qualify, we're sorry. You know, I'm kind of thankful that we just kind of, you know, none of the dates worked. And we've been fortunate that we've been able to go to a couple of Moonlight Magics and they're great, but quickly learned they're not worth a trip for. I know some people have made trips for them and even have flown to somewhere for them, for us, but we've done it a couple times. So hopefully if you are staying on points and you listen, you got your tickets. So let us know how it was. And hopefully they will change this as far as the verbiage so that people, it's more clear in the future. So we will just leave it at that.
And we are streaming live. So if anybody wants to comment, I noticed someone, Facebook user says, hi, everyone. I'm putting on the scroll on the bottom of the screen. If you want to share your name from Facebook, you have to go to give StreamYard permission, and you can go to StreamYard.com/Facebook to do that. And Lauren also says hello. So if you have any comments you want to add, please feel free to put those in the comments of this live stream. We'll call them up. And if you went through struggles today or anything like that, or any comments on any of the other things we're going to be talking about, please feel free and we will share them as they come up. Moving on to the next story. Is this one me?
Yep.
It's me.
Yep.
On the bright side, it was vaguely mentioned at the Condo Association meeting, but on the Disney Parks blog, they verified that we're getting another member lounge. And the comment was, construction on a brand new Disney Vacation Club member lounge will begin in 2024 at Walt Disney World. This will be a great place for members to relax and recharge during their day of fun. To point out this comment, it does not tell us where it is, and it just says that construction will begin in 2024, so we don't even know if it's going to open this year. Just that.
So
at
when
some
my
point
contract this, ends in 2054,
yeah, it'll hopefully be open by then.
Yeah,
but I did for fun on the DVC Help Facebook page for DVCHelp.com, which is my website. I did a poll of members just to see what people thought where it should go. And I think it's no surprise Magic Kingdom was the winner with 67% of the votes. There was like 50 some votes. So it was, you know, it was a good portion of people. I was a little surprised. Number two was Animal Kingdom with 21%. Huh. And Hollywood Studios only had 12%. And the comments that I got about Animal Kingdom, I didn't really think about this, is Animal Kingdom is probably the worst place to like take a bit break and relax for much of the year, because a lot of the quick service areas and things like that are outside there.
Right.
There's only a few places where you can take a break inside. And I think that's why that got more votes than Hollywood Studios, because Hollywood Studios, there's a number of quick services. You can go in, you can sit down. There's shows you can go to, and One Man Stream, you can go in there and take a nap.
Right.
But Animal Kingdom doesn't have much of that. So I think that's why that came in second. But yeah, Magic Kingdom was the clear favorite among members. So I don't know what we're going to get, but what do you both think? You obviously, this is a good thing, but you think it's going to be Magic Kingdom? You think
I would hope it's going to be Magic Kingdom, but the thing is, it's like where? Magic Kingdom?
Where?
Yeah.
Like there's just no space. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's where I would hope it would be Magic Kingdom. I mean, with our luck, it will probably be Hollywood Studios.
I mean, as long as they put one in, I'm good anywhere. I keep thinking Hollywood Studios probably has the most empty space.
Yeah, that's my thought too.
But it depends what they're going to do. I'm sure there's some space in Magic Kingdom that they could put it. But yeah, I can't.
They
really
put it where Stitch's Great Escape was.
Oh yeah, yeah. You all sit in a big circle.
Yep.
Well, you know, at Animal Kingdom, you've got the renovations with Dino Land. There could be space over there.
That's true. They could put it in part of that. Actually, Restaurantosaurus is a very big building with lots of little rooms, so they could even do it in there. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely places in each park that they could find it.
It'll be interesting.
Lauren commented, oh, nice. I didn't hear that. I just went to the Disneyland member lounge for the first time this last week. Love the idea of a second Walt Disney World lounge. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we all do, Lauren.
Yeah. I mean, having a lounge in two parks would be awesome. I've thought for a while with how nice the Epcot one is, and it was built almost as an afterthought, but I mean, we go in there almost every trip. So
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a good sales pitch.
Yeah, it is. Especially at Epcot. They just need more bathrooms. Let's hope this one has bathrooms.
That would be nice.
Yeah, and bathrooms would be nice. Agree.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. And then more news on the newest DVC resort, right, at Fort Wilderness?
Correct. Several new bits of information came out with documentation filings for the new cabins at Fort Wilderness. The following items were reported by DVCnews.com. So you can go on there and take a closer look. But based on the documentation, it shows that each cabin will have a total of 7,661 points for the year. That's an average of about 21 points per night, which is similar to what the studios throughout the DVC system are now on average. We don't have a point chart yet. They haven't come out with anything like that. So it's just a guesstimate that if you divided it by the nights of the year, it would be about 21 points per night. The full floor plan also revealed the dimensions of the cabin, which will be 43 feet by 12 feet or 516 square feet. That puts the size slightly above a studio, but much smaller than a one bedroom. It also shows that more details on the bathroom, which appears to have two sinks, with one being outside the main toilet / shower area. So two people can get ready with the sinks at the same time.
Yeah, to me, that's always nice in a hotel or any.
Oh, yeah. I mean, somebody can be brushing their
one sink outside, you know, while someone's in the bathroom.
Yep.
So.
And that's one of the things I liked about the moderate resorts over at Disney, by having them outside. Dog policies for the cabins have also become available. So those of you who were looking for a place to be able to bring your dog, they will allow a maximum of two dogs with fees of $30 per day for the owners. And if you're a guest of the owner coming in, it's going to be $50 per day for cash guests. The dogs must be fully trained and are not allowed on the furniture or anywhere on the resort property. Yeah. Furniture at any place on the resort.
Yeah, good luck getting them not on the furniture.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, how are you going to know?
Yeah, how are you going to know?
Yep. And they're not permitted in the food and beverage locations or lounges, pools, or other recreation areas. They cannot be left unattended for more than 7 hours. And guests with dogs must contact housekeeping to schedule a room cleaning time when the animals will not be present. Door hangers will be displayed on cabins where dogs are present. Management can request the dogs to be removed based on behavior. So, yes, you can bring your dog. They can't go up on the furniture. They can't go to basically most of the areas in Fort Wilderness. If there's any food, beverage, location, lounges, or pool of recreational areas. Yeah. So that really kind of leaves a lot of the place out.
They go to the horse barn though, I guess.
Yeah, they didn't say that. Or do they call that a recreation area?
Oh, that's maybe.
That could be.
So it's going to be interesting, but at least now there is a place. So if someone has a dog, wants to be able to use their points to stay and bring their dog, they can.
Yeah. And they didn't mention any kind of like cleaning fees. You know,
well, that's the $30.
That's $30. Yeah.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, if your dog, like, rips up the couch or something like that.
Well, I think it would just be if you were to damage anything.
Yeah, I suppose it's true.
I have an 8-year-old. He's probably worse than my two dogs. So as far as, like, my furniture is concerned, I think it's fine. I have two dogs. I love them, but I would not be bringing them on vacation. I don't want them. And then plus, I mean, $30 a day. I mean, that's pretty much what I pay for
a like, kennel.
To board them. They wouldn't be happy there. Everybody has a difference, and there's other people that have maybe someone that's elderly that's not going to be going to the parks and has a small dog. I could see that. Like, I could see there's a lot of people that do travel with their dogs. So it's nice that there is an option. There are a few resorts that have that you can bring the dogs. But let's talk about the important thing. I am shocked that the points are going to be reasonable. I'm thrilled, but I'm shocked. Still yet to be determined when they come out, but it sounds very, very promising.
I think the hard part, though, Shannon, is going to be if you're trying to book at the 7-month mark. If you don't own there and you're trying to book at the 7-month mark, it's not like there's an abundance of them. They're very popular.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's gonna be tough getting in there. And that's one of the considerations I have about, well, I guess I'm buying another contract.
I'm with Shannon. I was thinking it would be on the range of 1 bedrooms. I really thought it was going to be on the range of 1 bedrooms, even though it's small. I thought for sure they were going to at least be, you know, on the high end of the 1 bedroom range. And the fact that it's not even on the high end of the studio range, there's a lot of studios.
Grand Floridian.
Right.
The article I pulled it from, I didn't mention it, but it's the closest one is the standard view at the Grand Floridian, which is the lowest priced one at the Grand Floridian. So it is, it is higher than some studios, but it's not ridiculous at all, you know, and you got to figure it's going to be distributed very similar to most of the other resorts. So there will be seasons where it's maybe 15 to 20 points a night for that.
The hard part is the sleeping arrangements. I mean, you've got all people will sleep in one room. You're going to have the bunk beds and you're going to have the double bed. It's not a queen size bed.
And yeah, if you look the bedroom, which has four people in that bedroom, is 11 by 12. That is not a big bedroom for four people to be sleeping in. It kind of makes sense that they're doing this as studios, but I think by doing that, I think they've certainly made it more interesting for people to maybe want to buy. Cause you can look at a fixed week and go, oh, I can book a fixed week in beginning of December for 120 points.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, which is not ridiculous. I think they were smart. I'm glad to see that they didn't go ridiculous on this. You still got the problem of resale.
I think people that buy here are going to be buying here to stay here.
Right.
I don't know. I still can't imagine paying that price to only be able to stay at Fort Wilderness.
But you've got a lot of people.
Price is going to be.
But you've got a lot of people, Peter, who love staying at the cabins, and it's hard to get the cabins. And so now some of them are going to say, well, gee, if I buy into this or I buy a guaranteed week, a fixed week, my gosh.
I've mentioned this before because I have two separate group of friends that they go with, like, you know, 10, 11 families during, you know, November every year. And it's like groups of friends. They all get a cabin. They all stay together and they don't go to the parks. These are not Disney people. They're not the people that go to Disney occasionally, but they're not Disney people. They don't go to the parks, but this is like a tradition that they've been doing for years. And they are now looking at DVC when they would never have looked at DVC because this is a tradition. Like, I know two people that do this personally, but two separate families, but there's a lot of people that do that. And especially in Florida, they're targeting. So it'll be interesting to see because now their tradition is they're either going to have to purchase, you know, a contract to be able to continue to do that, or they're going to have to find a new tradition because it's just not going to be possible. And the two families that I know personally, they're considering it. They're looking into it.
Yeah. And it's not for me. I would never own this. If I was that interested, if I love Fort Wilderness, I would 100% get a fixed week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't always want to stay the same week necessarily, I would still get a fixed week. To me, I bet there's going to be certain, especially if it's like a holiday or something like that, there's going to be certain times.
Thanksgiving week.
That it's going to be really hard to get
a
cabin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you go down to, if you go over there around Halloween, you go over there for Thanksgiving or in December and everything Christmas, is decorated. Yeah. Of course, those are going to be the high times.
But anyway, very, very positive. Good news. Excited to see where this turns out. I guess we have our next story, and that's you, Pete.
Oh, Disney prices. Yeah. And so we just talked about new cabins, but guess what? Prices are going up like the falling of the leaves or the swallows return to Capistrano. Disney can be counted on to raise the price of DVC points annually. So this year it comes January 30th, and the price for Riviera and Aulani are both rising from $217 per point to $225 each. Meanwhile, on the West Coast, the Disneyland villas are also increasing for the first time from the original $230 per point to $239. It has not been announced if any of the sold-out resorts will also be increasing in price. They usually don't do that at the same time, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Grand Floridian is gonna would increase in price, because I think that one's still $230. So I wouldn't be surprised if they upped that one as well, because it's now sold out, but they haven't announced that yet. I don't think there's much to talk about here. You know, it's
prices are going up.
Last price increase was, I think, last December 2022. So it was a little more than a year, but nope, not a surprise.
Yep, not a surprise. This is a kind of an older story. This came out, I think, right after we recorded our last episode, which was a while ago, but on December 19th, Disney announced that it is finally going to rehab the old Voyage of the Little Mermaid show in the animation courtyard in Disney's Hollywood Studios. This show has been closed since the start of the COVID pandemic, and cast members have said that the area had a strong mildew problem preventing it from reopening. That sounds wonderful. The new show will be titled The Little Mermaid, a musical adventure, and is expected to reopen in fall of 2024. Per the Disney Parks blog, as part of our continued investment in the Disney Parks experience, Disney Live Entertainment has been dreaming up innovative ways to bring new life to the beloved story of Ariel's journey to be part of the human world. When it opens, the show will feature stunning new set pieces, cutting-edge effects, and a bold new design that captures Ariel's imagination and emotions through her unique view of the world around her. Though limited details have been shared, a drawing of a new show scene covering Kiss the Girls was provided. It is likely the show will be a mix of the old and the new. My guess is, and this is based on the original Little Mermaid.
The animated version, yeah. And I
know Len Testa had reported several times about that they were waiting to see about the success of the live action remake of the Little Mermaid. And if it was popular and if it was a hit, they were going to change it to that. I think this answers whether or not it was a success. It wasn't a bomb, but it definitely wasn't the success that they had hoped it was.
The billion dollars of some of the other.
Exactly. I still haven't seen it, to be honest, but I actually know a couple of the, you know, original Little Mermaids, Ariels that did this. And, you know, that you had to be a certain height. You couldn't be taller than like 5'5" to fit in the fin. Yeah. You could, and you had to, like, it was mechanical. So I would think that that's probably gone, because having sat there for so long unused, it probably doesn't work anymore. I'm curious to see what it's going to be like. And I wonder if it's going to be shorter, if it's going to be longer, because this is something that does churn out, you know, a lot of people. And this park does need something to eat people during the day. I'm excited for it. My niece is 28 years old, but she loves The Little Mermaid, and she's very, very excited that this is reopening, and she has an almost 3-year-old and another girl on the way. Hopefully by the time the second one is here, she'll be able to take them to this. So I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. Teeny bit surprised, only because we now have an aerial ride that tells the story of the Little Mermaid.
Right.
So I'm a little surprised they didn't go for something different. You know, the impression I've gotten is it's going to be a lot new, but with some of the show elements will be similar. We'll see. But yeah, I totally agree. That park needs more stuff to eat people. Boy, we were there. We did get to do a couple days in the parks, and we were there last Wednesday, and every ride in that park just about had like 120 minute wait.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Yep. I mean, you know, talking like 95 minutes for Toy Story Mania. Even Star Tours was like 50 minutes. I mean, it was just all the waits are so long there with the Genie Plus and everything. We did use Genie Plus, so we got on some rides without the waits, but like it just needs to things that can absorb more people so that you're not spending the whole day waiting in giant lines.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen all the pictures lately of the lightning lane lines being really long and the standby lines being empty. Yep. It's pretty, it's been a popular thing that's been, I've seen on social media. So
well, I did not see that when I was there.
Yeah, no, it's something that's been being shared a lot. Right. I think it's not something that's, I would say, common, but it does happen. And I did see that. There was one time that did happen to us. And I think it was Buzz Lightyear at Magic Kingdom. You know, Genie Plus is, well, it is what it is. I hope it's going to be revamped.
Actually, I have changed my mind. We walked by Mine Train and they had how they have the tape on the ground sometimes for lines.
Right.
For the lightning lane was extending outside the queue and was like looped back like four times in the park. Just tape on the ground for the lightning lane. So that's, yeah, there was at least 300 people in line for the lightning lane on that ride.
Because if it goes down, those are people that paid. It's still individual lightning, right? Yeah. So when that line goes down, they got to get those people through because, you know, it's not like another ride goes down. It's Genie Plus. They just give you an anytime. Right. No, you get your money back if you don't get to ride the ride. So they got to get those people through.
Right.
It's exciting that it's coming back and there'll be something new. It's not going to be something like big, but at least there'll be something and something new.
Yep.
And it's a live show.
Yeah.
Which is, I like that about having, you know, Beauty and the Beast. You're in Hollywood Studios and to have some live shows with live entertainment is, to me, that's really what the park's all about.
I agree. Yep.
But speaking of things that are down, there are a couple of attractions that are going through some refurbishment. One of them, the Rock and Roller Coaster, closed yesterday. Disney has not made any announcement on the details of the closure, but it is listed to be closed into the summer. So if you're planning your vacations, keep that in mind.
So what's the rumor going to be this time on who's going to be replacing Aerosmith? It's got to be Taylor Swift, right?
Ah, oh, Lady Gaga. What the heck?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I don't think they can afford Taylor.
No, I don't think so either. Oh. One of the new pieces of news is that Country Bears Jamboree has a closing date of January 27th for an all-new show. And this is expected to reopen in the summertime. So, during the Easter week, spring breaks, it will be closed. But I'm really excited about looking forward to a new show for Country Bear Jamboree. How about you guys?
I'm not necessarily excited. I'm not, as long as they do it justice, and they don't ruin it. If they give us something subpar, then I will be disappointed, but I'm going to wait to make judgment until I see it.
Yeah. I try to sympathize with Country Bear Jamboree fans because my show is the Tiki Birds Tropical Serenade. Yep. And they did close it and replace it with something that was horrible.
Yeah.
And, but they brought it back.
And they did eventually bring it back. Yep. Thank goodness. That said, I hate the Country Bears. So, so I'm perfectly fine with them changing the show from my perspective. But I do sympathize with fans of the show that might be missing it. I just hope, because the one thing I hated most about the Tiki Bird change was like it made fun of the old show.
Yeah.
And I hated that part of it. And it's like, so at least if they don't like berate the Country Bears as part of this, I think it's fine. You know, if you keep the spirit of it with new songs, and I know it's going to have some Disney songs in it, I think it could actually be an improvement for those of us that aren't big fans.
Right.
As long as Big Al is there, I'll be happy.
Yeah. I don't think they're getting rid of any of the characters. I think they're going to keep all the characters. So that's good.
Remember when they used to change the show for the holidays?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so they did. They used to put it and keep it down for a little while and change the show over with the different songs and give it a holiday flair. And they did away with that a long time ago. So I'm excited to see what they can do with it. I think it's a great place. If you want to sit and rest, you can stomp your feet to the music. It's air conditioned and it gives you a little bit of a break.
All right. There's been some news lately that seems it's more than rumor. So this is why we're going to talk about it. Is that DVC is potentially going to include a trust model. DVC has registered to form a timeshare trust under the name Palmetto Trust Associates. A timeshare trust model would be something new to DVC. Just as a brief introduction is that these trust models, what they can actually do is they can put points from multiple resorts into the trust, and then owners buy into the trust and are able to book at multiple resorts at the 11-month window, up to however many points are in the trust. So the good thing about this is, as an owner, let's say you buy into with the intention of buying into Fort Wilderness, but you buy into the trust model. Well, if there's a year you don't want to go to Fort Wilderness, you could have other options at 11 months, you know, ahead of some members. Typically, what would happen here is they wouldn't put all the points from a single, from a resort into the trust. They would only put some of them. The problem is, if you have multiple resorts in this trust and certain ones are very popular or are limited in number of points, that resort could sell out in the trust and prevent owners from having availability almost at 11 months at those resorts. If you just want to use that to stay at a very popular resort, it might not work all that well. It shouldn't, from what I understand, really affect existing members, because again, any points that are put into the trust would be separate from points at the resort. So like, for example, let's say they decide to put in 25% of Riviera's points into this trust or something like that. The other 75% of the resort would still be reserved for members that own at the resort. And then for all, most of us, which have resorts that are already fully sold out, it wouldn't really affect at all.
I'm not smart enough to understand this, so it's fine.
I don't think I'd like it, but I'm sure we'll find out more if and when they announce it, but it sounded like they registered the Fort Wilderness cabins as part of this trust. So it looks like it's coming, but there has not been any official announcement from DVC. And once they do, I suppose they'll explain it to us.
We just talked about how bad their communication is. And now you think they're going to explain it to us.
Well, I didn't say they'd explain it well.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Yeah.
It was good.
I think I prefer owning at a resort that I like.
I agree.
Right.
And knowing I can get into it.
Well, right. This is the thing is we own at Saratoga. We know we can get in Saratoga. We switch at 7 months if we can. We just did that. We booked our trip for July. I switched and I was fine to stay at Saratoga. If it's like, I know what I got.
Right.
I know what I got. I don't think it would be for me. Maybe. I mean, look, my mind, things have come out and things have changed. But for me, I don't think it would be for me. But, to each his own.
It'll be interesting, too, to see what the price of trust points will be.
Well, I think it's going to be crazy.
I don't think it would be more.
Well, you've got resorts now that are at all different prices. So you kind of wonder, because keep in mind right now, even on the sold out resorts, the developer still owns 2%.
2%. Yeah.
So, I mean, they could conceivably take part of that 2% if they wanted to and put it in trust.
Yeah. And the other thing they could do is they could start doing more right first refusal and buy back points for different resorts.
Correct.
And put that in the trust
to make it more appealing.
Correct.
Right.
I see a lot of Riviera points going in there.
Alani.
Well, Alani.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll see. It looks like it's happening and it could be appealing. Like I said, my mind could be changed. Personally, I don't think it's for me.
I don't see it appealing to me. I'm not looking for more points either. So
exactly. Our last story will, by the time this goes on the podcast and gets published, this will already be effective. That Magic Key passes are going to go back on sale on January 10th. So not much to say about it. They're going back on sale. So if you are in California or you wanted a Magic Key pass, they are hopefully still on sale by the time this goes up, because they tend sometimes go on sale. And then by the time this goes live, maybe they're already off, but they are set to go on sale.
I think the big thing is it's all categories too, I believe. So even California resident passes, that's good news for locals out there.
Yep.
So phones will be busy tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that was it for our stories. We had a total of 8 stories, so we had a lot to cover. I know you wanted to mention some stuff regarding your daughter's college program now that we're at the tail end of it.
Oh, I'll keep it short because we've already run pretty long. But yeah, no, it was definitely a good experience. She had some roommate issues, which I think anytime you're dorming can happen.
Right.
But she had some issues. A couple of her roommates were very messy, mm-hmm. and especially in the kitchen, and it was a became a big problem and arguments and things like that. So she kind of just isolated herself kind of from the roommates. And so it wasn't the best roommate experience, but I think, as you said, Shannon, I think it really helped. It helped her socially. She's in my view, become much more outgoing and talkative. I think having to be in the environment of the parks and having to do customer service and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then it also, I think it lets kids know what a hardworking job it is, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
to work right. in those parks right. because it really was hard work. It certainly, I mean, working in Animal Kingdom food service, you're not sitting around on your butt. You're
right.
They got you on your feet for 6-8 hours a day. And she was lucky that she had Animal Kingdom and it closed at 7 o'clock. And,
right.
you know, a lot of the other kids in that program are at Magic Kingdom or the hotels, and they work till midnight, 1 a.m, and things like that. So it's tough work, but it's good work. It's good experience. She made a lot of friends in the parks and had a really good experience. So
that's great.
It's definitely worth it. And we got a couple of days free park tickets at the end. So
yeah. bonus.
Awesome.
So I'm assuming you don't have a trip planned.
No, I mean, we're going to Disneyland it's Disneyland / a couple other things in Southern California in May. Mm-hmm. And we have a late October, early November trip booked for our annual trip. And we're not even sure we're going to do it because we've been so many times this year and last year that we may actually cancel that one. But we decided to wait a little bit because we're kind of like Disney saturated right now.
Yeah.
So
we said, well, you know, we don't have to. The good thing about DVC is even though you have to book early, you can cancel a lot closer.
Right.
You know, so we just have to cancel in time to bank the points, which I think is, well, would be the 30 days out. So by September, we would have to cancel. So we're just sitting on it for now, but not sure what we're going to do with that one. And Lauren, I see, said, thanks. Glad your daughter had an overall good experience. So thank you, Lauren. No good. It was a good trip. Weather didn't hold us up either way. So that was nice. No delays. That always makes me nervous. I actually bought the trip insurance.
Yeah. You never know with storms down here.
Yeah. Well, storms down there, but like in both cases, we flew through Baltimore and actually the flight back was on Friday. If we'd flown back over the weekend, there was a big East Coast storm. So we might've been delayed, but luckily Friday it was smooth sailing. So.
Well, my husband was in California over the weekend for Disneyland. I told him if he went to Disneyland, he would be in trouble. But because he actually, his room actually he could see the fireworks of Disneyland from his hotel room. You know, with what happened with the Alaska Airlines, you know, it turned out that a friend of his was in town at Disneyland with his wife. But the people he was traveling with, they were taking flights back. They're on separate flights and their flights were canceled because they were on the same version of plane that the Alaskan airline that lost a panel. And there was a lot of flights. So those types of fluke things can happen. It's not just bad weather.
Right.
It's like crazy things where 171 planes are grounded.
Right.
Fortunately, they were able to switch and they were able to get home. But those types of crazy things happen. So that's why I don't mind driving. I like driving or taking a cruise where I can drive to the port. Because airlines are not my favorite form of transportation. Sometimes you got to take it. But with that, we do want to say thank you to our three sponsors, DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial for their continued support of the MyDVC Points platform. And with that, I will say see you real soon, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.